3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. This guy's become a regular on the show, Alex Apple of Fox 17, who joins us now. So should soccer fans rejoice and get a hard hat and some goggles and a sledgehammer and just go join John Ingram at the fairgrounds, start knocking stuff down? Are we ready for that?
And make it into its own HGTV show, and we can have you get the sledgehammer out, and we'll do demo day. I don't know if they'll round
Chip
on that
and Joanna out there.
Right. But certainly, and all kidding aside, yes, absolutely, you have to rejoice if you're a soccer fan, just from the standpoint of, and I was just talking to Will Bowling in the other room, like, think about the players. There was some real question as to the permanence of this franchise, and if you're a fan, yeah, they're playing at Nissan here in a couple weeks, but are you going to get behind something that really could be quite fleeting? You never really know. This really etches that in stone. Now, this has been an unpredictable process, so you hope that everything that was released today moves forth and comes to fruition, but I wouldn't necessarily hold your breath at all times either.
You were the first one I saw with this news breaking this morning. Were you surprised when you heard it? Did you expect it to happen?
My read on how it came to an agreement, and I started to hear about it last night, but out of sort of abundance of caution, didn't really put anything out. The trial was quite, I mean, you have to be quite sure on that kind of thing, obviously.
Yeah.
Is that John Cooper got those concessions. And before John Ingram wrote that letter that became public, he was really pushing to get 8C changed or even maybe out of the deal or the lease shortened. And it was clear that John Ingram didn't think that this was financially feasible. Like I've said, it was a land deal with, you know, that carrot dangled to make building a soccer stadium worth his time or worth his investment. Because just building a stadium on itself, I'm not sure that that's all that lucrative. If you're John Ingram, there's probably other ways you could invest hundreds of millions of dollars and make more money.
Well, and he has.
And, you know, he's not going broke off this deal either. Yeah. I don't mean to suggest that.
Right.
But I think that John Cooper knew that they had to get something done. Public pressure was mounting. The team, MLS, was all ratcheting up that pressure. And he always shared the goal. There was never – John Cooper, I don't think, ever was at the point where I don't want soccer at the fairgrounds. He shared that goal of making it work and knew, probably like we've discussed, that – becomes a little bit embarrassing for the city if all of a sudden you lose your MLS franchise or you can't make significant promises come to fruition. And I think that's kind of what was at stake.
It is funny how loud it got publicly with both sides kind of communicating through the newspaper and you guys and us and things like that. Ultimately, I think we all kind of knew that this would work itself out. And, you know, so the news that we hear today that both parties have agreed to a set of parameters as to how that 2.4 acres parcel 8C will be used. Space will be designed to feature an open plaza. I mean, that just makes sense, right?
Right. And especially when you think about, like, a good analogy is Kansas City has a speedway and a soccer stadium right next to each other. Now, they also, I think the Royals play right near there. And that is 1,000 acres. The fairgrounds is 117 acres. It's really small.
Yeah.
And to have anything feasible at that speedway, that has to expand relatively significantly. My guess is those concourse, once you build that out from a width perspective, almost makes that double. Yes, having that concourse in between, as John Cooper described it, that area became the most important civic space in Nashville. And when he said that in an interview to us the other day, I thought, well, that doesn't sound like a mayor ready to budge on that, but being able to work out how that's going to be used was important. And I just before I came in here got a statement, and I put it out on Twitter, but I assume most people haven't seen it. The executive vice president and general manager of Bristol Motor Speedway, Jerry Caldwell, put out this statement. He doesn't break any news with this, but it gives you the impression that negotiations for NASCAR are ongoing, and that deal couldn't be coupled with the mayor. He just says, "We congratulate Mayor John Cooper and John Ingram on reaching an agreement to move forward with the MLS stadium development and are encouraged by conversations with the city and share Mayor Cooper's vision for a truly comprehensive redevelopment of the fairgrounds that includes a plan to restore the speedway and sustain its future." And it goes on a little bit longer, but that's the gist, that will still be ongoing. And I think that Mayor Cooper appreciates the history of that and is one of the reasons why he's wanted so dearly to preserve it.
Alex Apple, our guest, there was a statement from Mayor Cooper, and this was part of it. This agreement, and he out outlines all of the financial savings, and we've talked some about that, and we can hit those again because you'll be here for a couple of segments. This was part of the statement. This agreement allows for a better site plan, providing great civic space that connects the stadium, historic speedway, state fair, and exhibition halls. And it will bring up to $650 million of investment to the fairgrounds. I'm proud to say that the community benefits agreement has been preserved and confirmed by language included in this new agreement. And this is how it ends. I'm also excited by Speedway Motorsports' desire to partner in bringing NASCAR back to Nashville, and I will work to try to make that happen. Like, that's part of the soccer announcement statement.
And like I said, that's happening. Yeah. I mean, NASCAR is going to come to Nashville in some capacity, and it's on his plate, and I hope he's smarter than I am to figure out how to make that work, because 117-acre property, and you're going to have two 30,000-seat venues in a residential neighborhood. That's going to need to be a very carefully planned out development.
The road, I'll tell you right now, the roads over there can't handle
Oh my,
that.
Can you imagine Nolensville Road?
Listen, you're talking about Nissan Stadium, basically, right? When you're talking about 230,000-seat stadium.
If they ever had anything on the same day, absolutely.
Right, so that's true. And, you know, it's going to be loud. Like, there are issues to work through here, and parking is one, and roads are another. So we'll see how it all plays out, but you know, with regard to John Cooper, he was behind the NASCAR thing. He's the only mayor in the last few, including the interim, that would even open a door for a discussion from Bristol Motorsports. So you kind of felt like this was definitely coming, and that both would end up happening.
And it was always weird with the Briley administration, where the Fair Board would meet and racing executives would make a pretty comprehensive pitch. They'd have a slideshow and renderings and details and cost estimates. And then you would follow up with the mayor's office, and they would say something like, well, there's no viable plan for NASCAR at the fairgrounds currently. And sort of the follow-up question to that is, well, what do you mean? It was hard to get an answer on that. But sure, Cooper, you know, and if you're just a longtime Nashvillian, I'm from here, like, seeing a general foundation of the city's history preserved is something that I think most people would want to see, regardless of whether you'll ever go to a NASCAR race. And so I think approaching it from that foundation alone is smart on behalf of a mayor that's also, you know, lived here his entire life and, you know, is trying to allow Nashville to grow as well as preserve what a lot of the people that have called this home for a long time really like about it.
Alex Apple, Fox 17, hanging out with the 3HL crew. So this morning we wake up to news via Alex and then others that the mayor and his office had decreed that an agreement had fully been reached and that demolition could begin on the fairgrounds to start paving the way for a soccer stadium for Nashville SC. There's another entity that's involved in this, though, that would like a say-so about what happens, and it's not necessarily soccer fans or NASCAR fans. It's the Save the Fairgrounds group. Where are they in all this? Are they rejoicing, or do they still... are there still some things up in the air that they feel like need to be solved?
If you judge by what you see on Twitter, they're not entirely sold on this. They weren't entirely sold on the original deal. I think that the main contention is that Nashville is violating its own rules. The city has a charter which basically lays out rules for how Nashville has to do everything. And originally this deal with previous mayors wasn't going to be coupled with NASCAR. If John Ingram had been able to just develop that 8C parcel and all around there, it seemed to them like that would have just swallowed up the speedway. Some of them were racing fans. Some of them are flea market folks, and they want to see that flea market preserved and to be able to have that. And also in the city's charter, you have to have a fair there. You have to have what's called the state fair. It's not really even a state fair. It's in a metro charter, not the state charter. And so to preserve those uses is something that is still in the city's rules. That's what the lawsuit is about at its core. There's other issues of that. It's set to go to trial, I think, now in May or June. I know it was pushed back a little bit. But there needs to be a resolution of that, because the question is, can you get an injunction? Might that play a role in halting briefly, permanently, or otherwise, the stadium deal? I don't know what the outcome of that's going to be. All I know is that enough judges have looked at it to where it still exists about a year after it was filed. Maybe it's even been more than a year now, if my memory serves me wrong. And so that has to be resolved at some point. Do I think that John Cooper has considered that? You would have to think probably so, and has some sort of read on what is viable to go ahead and do without making this another massive issue, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Pamela Furr from 99.7 WTN called me right before the show to say that she had spoken with that group's attorney, the Save Our Fairgrounds group, and that they are filing an injunction to stop the Nashville SC Soccer Stadium demolition until their lawsuit is heard. So there are all kinds of angles to this story. My guess is there are two very powerful entities now moving in the same direction, and so that part of it will be difficult and will be a challenge for that group to make headway. But it's another element that has to be dealt with, I guess.
And they got so dug in because they felt like they weren't included in the process.
Yeah.
With former mayors, and I'm not here to opine on whether they were or were not.
Right.
But that's how they felt, and they're entrenched now. And so that is why some of the lingering feelings of discontent probably continue to exist, even though John Cooper has tried arduously to get a better deal of some kind.
That city charter that's been referenced, and you just referenced it as well, at some point, do you think, and I don't know how you go about changing a city charter.
You have to have a referendum.
Okay. So might it eventually have to go to a referendum then?
It would if you were going to change the charter. And one of the Save Our Fairgrounds folks' big contention is that in 2011, I believe it was, we had a referendum about what do you want to see as far as uses at the fairgrounds. And preserving racing was overwhelmingly approved.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm sure that they are encouraged that John Cooper is making inroads to doing that. But that doesn't totally resolve the lawsuit either.
Alex Apple, our guest. All right, let's get into this because taxpayers in Davidson County would wonder about the dollar figures as this final agreement per John Cooper in the mayor's office in Nashville Soccer. So monetarily, and you've talked about this some before, but let's go through it again, the type of money that we're talking. When John Cooper said, I won't accept the current deal, I don't know if you'd call it, they go back to the negotiating table, but whatever they did, the concessions made by Nashville Soccer, what are those concessions?
Well, I put it the other way, the other night on the news like this. There's how much money the fairgrounds is making currently. It's roughly breaking even. I mean, if you had to guess, what is the fairgrounds' major biggest source of revenue right now?
Flea market?
By far, yeah. Flea market in general.
Okay.
And once you get past the vendor sales, it's parking. Like $600,000+ a year generated off a flea market and other parking, which is remarkable. So it's just really barely
kind of
breaking
expensive.
A lot of people saw this soccer deal,
market, by the way,
as me too, as a giving potential to make a better flea market that was also profitable for the city. So the city is going to profit initially off of sales tax, ticket tax. So there's a tax on all of those tickets that are going to be sold for soccer, and also eventually on property taxes, because if John Ingram's going to develop it, the city is going to get some measure of property taxes. Now, the city does, as John Cooper would love to tell you, a bad job of giving a lot of its tax revenue away. It's one of the reasons why we don't have that much money. But here's what he was able to save. $35 million in savings by removing the rent guarantee. And $35 million, whether you know what a rent guarantee or not, doesn't matter. $35 million is very significant in a city that's had budget holes in the last couple of years. $19 million that the team is now going to put forth to help the infrastructure. And we mentioned it, the getting in there and getting out of the fairgrounds is tough. If you've ever been to the flea market right at that peak time, you sit there as you're going in, and finding parking spots tough. And then also that's $54 million once you add it up, and then you've got a more sensible 8C. Now, on the other hand, how much is John Ingram going to make? Mm-hmm. Rent off apartments, leasing these commercial businesses that will move in there, he's probably going to make at least, this is very conservative, $10 million a year was the estimate. Could be 20. And so he is still coming out okay on that deal from that very high-level perspective. And the city will now make money off ticket and sales tax, and the city doesn't have to cover any of its debt payments. Because when you put $250 million in bonds, the city doesn't just write that check. We don't have that money. So there's going to be debt payments and bonds, and now the soccer team and John Ingram is going to cover that.
Well, I mean, I don't have a problem with John Ingram making as much money as he wants to make. I mean, he's the guy that made this deal happen.
And he's making a massive investment. You would hope that he's able to make money off of that.
Yeah. Have you heard along the way that it may be difficult for the city to secure bonds to make all of this happen? And one reason I hear that might be an issue is because of that two-year out, as if, for those that don't know, if they don't play soccer for 2 years in that stadium, then they can get out of the deal.
Right. The Wiz.
So what if the MLS has a 2-year strike, for example?
Exactly. Or what if, I mean, God forbid something terrible happens in the world and we don't play Major League Soccer for a while. You just don't know. I mean, anything could happen, theoretically. Now, the Wizzes that are in charge of that in New York don't want to write that bond. You don't want to write a bond where all of a sudden, ooh, this is now changed ownership. The city owns this. What's the city going to do? It doesn't have any money. How is it going to pay it back? So I think the operating sort of idea, and perhaps some of this deal today will be included in this, is that the Metro Council is going to have to vote on this again and reissue some of those bonds, $250 million in bonds, $225 for the stadium, $25 for, I think it was for infrastructure. And so they're still going to have a say on that. I mean, so before you like get, you know, if you're a big soccer fan today, get your cake and have a little bit of a party. But before you like hang up the permanent decorations, you never know what's going to happen in Metro government, and so there is still a little bit of work to be done.
You know, it was interesting, and again, this is Alex Apple from Fox 17 hanging out with us. For a while, part of the, and I'm going to go back a couple of years, part of the push this thing through was Vanderbilt could use it too, that it could be used for Vanderbilt football. And that has just died on the vine.
Well, part of that is because John Ingram and his investment with Vanderbilt and relationship there just did not want to get involved in
it. Yeah, they probably need an athletic director first, too.
They have an interim. But it is interesting that no Vanderbilt fan is even standing up and saying, where do we fit into this picture? Because for a while, and I don't think playing games off campus is a good idea. I said, if I'm the AD, that's the last thing I want to do. But it is interesting because that got discussed for a while. To wire them into this deal, and boy, when that died, it died.
And then the other thing is that the Save Our Fairgrounds folks talk about how Nissan Stadium, when it was built, I'm told, to accommodate soccer. I think there's a couple of extra locker rooms down there. I've not really
walked the entire
lower bowl of that, you know, underneath. But their contention was if we had to, we wouldn't lose the team if we played at Nissan Stadium. Now, I don't know how MLS would have looked at that, but it was
not
at least built to accommodate it.
Based on their reaction.
It didn't seem like I think that's probably
The seasons overlap. That would have been a challenge. Then you're talking about money that the Titans would want.
and we talked about how the field condition would be tough. There would be a lot of reasons why that would be difficult. But, you know, for now, they're still going to play a couple of games at Nissan Stadium. And there's not even a hole in the ground for this soccer stadium yet, so they're going to have to do that for a little
while. Although, I guarantee we talked about this earlier, if I'm John Ingram, the second that statement came out or I knew it, I'd have my hard hat on and a jackhammer.
Yeah, a sledgehammer.
And I was
in my own personal vehicle.
I've not been able to pinpoint exactly when the mayor and the city thinks that everything can get started. I mean, I've heard that the demo could start as early as this weekend. So if you're ready to see some action.
We know you'll be out there with a camera shooting it.
Somebody will.
You and your crew, Alex Apple, that's Fox 17. Follow him for all the latest. That's what we've been doing.
Great stuff, man.
Yeah, man, appreciate the
time.
It's
a pleasure. I love you coming on.
The fifth Beatle. You just keep showing up when we need you, man. We appreciate it.
Take
it
as a compliment. Tune in tonight to check his story, too.
Very true. When we come back, so it's Randy Moss's birthday. And once upon a time, kids, if you didn't know, briefly, Randy Moss was a Titan. And many people think that he called into 3HL one day under a fake name. We will play that call from Woody when we return.
Alex Apple said he thought that it was Randy Moss. Wayne Bishop thought that it was Randy Moss. I want to encourage you to take care of your health. It's easier, guys, than you think at Low T Center.